So, Father,
I didn't know about the communion of saints, so that was a...
Yes, you didn't know, so it's just a confirmation. See, that's why, you know, God uses all things, and we sometimes would like to be able to connect all the dots, and he doesn't always give us all the dots. And what he does is he does it. So if you'll bow your heads with me and say, Father, give me ears to hear,
and a heart to perceive
what your Spirit is speaking to the body of Christ, specifically me. Amen.
Amen
and amen. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to hit verse 29 first. We're not going to hit it too hard. Just the point of by faith. You're going to notice verse 29, 30, and 31. All of them are by faith. So verse 29 says, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. So notice that the unregenerated man, meaning the Egyptians, tried to duplicate what God was doing with his people, and it couldn't be done. So they ended up dying. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. Again, you know, these people had an awareness, because we know about the conversation that they had. But the bottom line is, they could have made a different decision, but they didn't. 31, by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Now that tells you the nature of the beast, disobedience. And what's more, shall I say, I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who, through faith, conquered the kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Notice it was gain. Who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength. If you haven't got that underlined in your Bible, it might be worthwhile. Whose weakness was turned to strength. How many of you are upset about your weakness? Tell your neighbor, get over it.
Get over it.
God's got a plan to turn it into strength. Not you turning it into strength.
Not you.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Reminds me of, I read Carrie's status. He drags himself to the gym and works out. He's not sure if it shows.
See? Making a shot. Watch again now. Whose weakness was turned to strength, and whose became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised from to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Think about it. If you and I were in jail and somebody said, I'll open the door, and you say, no, I'm not going. I want a better resurrection. I'll let them kill me for the name's sake. Think about it. What kind of grace does it take for that to happen? Amen? What kind of decision does that take? And if it's not done by grace, who in God's name would be able to endure it? 36. Some faced jeers, flogging, while still others chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskin, goatskin, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. That's an incredible comment. The world was not worthy of them. That's his word, not my opinion. Okay? They wandered in deserts, mountains, and in caves, in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet, here's the real big, awesome word. None of them received what had been promised. None of them received what had been promised to them. They died in faith believing. Give you an example. Abraham. Did he see all of his descendants? Maybe he's looking at them now. But he didn't see him before he went into the grave. He saw by choice what God was showing him, that as numerous as the stars in the heavens would be his sons. I mean, that was awesome. But did he actually see it before he went home? No. Verse 40 is very, very important. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. This was written 2,000 years ago. What's happening? The clock is ticking. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, not on ourselves. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you would not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as sons. Sometimes you may feel persecuted. Sometimes you may feel that somebody's picking on you. I would definitely say don't go by feelings. Because God is really saying, I love you. Allowing you a test is not something that's comfortable. But what it does is it brings maturity in your heart. And when you don't understand, cry out to the one who can finish the work. Because he says when he started something, he will finish it. He will perfect that which concerns you. And I think sometimes we have a tendency to correct ourselves and try to adjust ourselves. And what I was getting this afternoon, which God was trying to push into my heart, was that the communion of saints is out there surrounding us to get us to that finish line together with them. And they will be completed in the same coordinated time slot. Remember, the Feast of Tabernacles is around the corner. The one that will be able to say on that day, when the fullness of tabernacles has come. See, Acts chapter 2 in the Amplified says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, tabernacles has never fully happened. So now, Those that have gone before us, and they're waiting for their tent to be what? Filled with the fullness of God. And they come out of the grave. Let's face it. He showed us what happens on the mountain of transfiguration. Moses was dead how many years before the glory of God hit him? Yeah? Take it as an example. And take and shake off the unbelief. Shake off the unbelief. Oh my God, you mean I'm going to be perfected by God? Yeah! He's going to finish what he started. And it will definitely change everything about you. As we were having communion, I was remembering another vision that one of the saints had, and I don't remember who. But he says, are you ready to walk into one? In fact, I think it was Paul Keith. He said, are you ready for you and a friend to walk into one end of the hospital and every patient gets delivered and they all walk out? Tell me what's going to happen when the hierarchy of the medical field watches that happen. What happens to them?
They're
going to
get mad.
They lost their job! Yeah! The psycho wards are going to be empty. The jails will be empty. We've already had tastes of this. William Brannan, I believe it's in Spokane, Washington. In the 19... I don't remember the numbers. Forgive me. But the anointing was so strong that they, in their day when God was doing this, that he put an ad in the paper and it was never collected. And I believe it was for $10,000. Anybody who came with any sickness or disease to the healing rooms, by the time that they left, they would be totally delivered and healed. Otherwise, they could collect the money and nobody ever collected it, and they put the ad in every week. For years. Are you ready for that? Go for it.
Many years ago, I took my neighbor to the doctor's.
Yeah.
And as I was sitting there, the Lord told me to get up. And I went over by the book rack. And I just felt the presence of God. I was shaking. And this boy came in, well, young adult maybe.
Yeah.
And sat down. There were some other people in the room that started filling up. And the Lord told me to go and lay hands. And I was a little hesitant, but I did. I laid hands anyways on three people.
Uh-huh.
These three people were healed. They went into the doctors after. And then my friend went in, and my friend came out, and she says the doctor was so mad. He wanted to know who was out in that room, because when they went in, they said they didn't really need to come anymore. They were healed.
So you saw the fruit, and they got angry. So does that give you a clue? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of the name. John. And I can't remember her name. But the day that Irene was in surgery at Mercy Hospital, having a full mastectomy, I left her as the doctors were wheeling her into the operating room with tears running down our eyes, having believed that God could deliver. But when she came out of the surgery, her breast was gone. And so were parts of her arm, and et cetera, et cetera. This lady that I had known from the Charismatic Renewal. And if her name comes back, I'll give you her name. Her husband's name, I believe, was John. She was all alone. She had been diagnosed with liver cancer. There were several tumors on her liver, and it was terminal. There was nothing they could do. And I'm sitting on the back bench where I always sat. Gino gave the service, and at the end, she came up to me and she said, "Kim, would you anoint me with oil?" Because she says, "I need a miracle." And I anointed her. She called me back within 10 days and told me there was not a trace of any one of those tumors in her liver. She was totally, completely delivered. Asked me if I had any questions in my brain. God knows. If I would have chosen, I would have said, "Now let's have my wife delivered." But out of her weakness, she was able to minister to hundreds of women who fought cancer. And she was able to minister out of her weakness. What does the scripture say? Out of her weakness, strength came. Close your eyes. Say, "Lord Jesus, let this truth come into my heart. Let it go so deep that I will understand that the communion of saints, that the heavenly church and the earthly church is one. It is one unit before you. It is not separated or divided. It is one big lump of saints. Crying out to Papa, finish this good work through Christ. And finish me in the image of the Most High." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We glorify you, Lord. And we honor you as you continue to change us. Amen?
Amen.